Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Doug.
And this is episode 231.
It is. So, I mean, I feel bad like we haven't been doing the news. So let's go right into the news before I have some other things to discuss. Doug, news, please.
Okay, first things first, this happened a couple weeks ago. Not much is known about it, but it makes me very excited because I'm a big fan. Sam Raimi has signed with Sony to direct a feature film in the horror genre.
Oh, cool.
Not much else is known, but I love Sam Raimi and the fact that he's back to doing feature films, let alone horror. That gets me excited.
I have to agree with you, Doug. I love Sam Raimi as a director. I enjoy his films. I may not always love them, but I enjoy them. I think he's a fabulous director. I think he gets some kids very visual to me. He understands the concept of what the viewer is looking for. Like, I'm one of the few people that really enjoyed Lovely Bones, I think. I didn't think it was the greatest film, but I like the look of his films. I think
but
he understands
Lovely Bones
it.
Is... Lovely Bones is the guy from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, wrong guy. Sorry. Yeah, and I love all Sam Raimi's films, then.
Drag Me to Hell was his last horror road.
Oh, then I love Drag Me to Hell. Then I'm good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
And the Evil Dead trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess we should start the show over since I just screwed up. But no, go ahead. I'll let it slide.
Oh, you're okay.
So, Daniel, what do you think? Have you seen all the Evil Deads?
Yeah. I love the first one. Love the second one. You know, I'm not that big on Army of Darkness, but I enjoyed it enough. I just don't have, like, a love for it.
Well, Army of Darkness is kind of rammed in from something else. You could tell they borrowed it from somewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, a very different beast than the first two, but it's still clever.
That one's more straightforward comedy. The other two were, well, the first one's pure horror. The second one's a mix of comedy horror, and the third one's just straight-up comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love them all. They're all awesome.
Yes.
And I love Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Love that show. So mad it got canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and let's not forget Spider-Man.
Yeah, I love all the Spider-Mans. Even in Spider-Man 3, I like the directing. I just hate the film.
Yeah.
Fair.
Next up.
Next up, we got the first ever R-rated film to make $1 billion, and that belongs to Warner Brothers and the Joker.
See, Kevin, it did well. I'm happy.
I'm shocked. I'm not a big fan of that movie, but it's obviously hit it a chord.
Yeah, I think the problem is the title. It's not really if it's a movie about a guy not named Joker or had the whole Joker concept, I think the film still would have worked for me.
Yeah, but I don't think it would have made the money.
I think that's the thing. The tagline makes it, the title.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
It's that Batman connection.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Now, I want to know if Doug this summer, I mean, he's got a few months to wait, is going to make a homage to the stairs in Brooklyn. Oh, is it Bronx?
I think it's Newark. It's Newark, so I've thought about going there, but haven't pulled the trigger yet.
But you did pull the trigger on something I do
want to... Is that a pun?
It could be.
Not intentionally, but...
Doug recently went to this really cool-sounding restaurant. And he posted on Facebook. I'm kind of surprising with this. And he's the only one that liked it. So I want to know, what's the name of the restaurant again and why you're the only one liked it?
Oh, geez. I can't even pronounce. I don't even know if I can pronounce it. It's, let's see. It's Asbury Festive Hall and Beer Garden. It's a German restaurant. And they serve, you know, traditional German foods. I have German ancestry, so I thought, hey, let's try it out. I was the only one who liked it. I had the Wiener Schnitzel, or I guess pronunciation-wise, Wiener Schnitzel. I liked it. Everybody else in my family did not like their food.
However you pronounce it, that's just a funny meal, Wiener Schnitzel.
So the whole point I'm asking Doug about this, he doesn't know yet, is that Doug has family movie nights.
Yes.
So instead of going out for dinner, somebody didn't like it. So my point is, Doug, you've been doing these family movie nights for a couple months now, where yep. everybody in the household picks a film.
Yes.
So how is that going?
That's going well. Our next one is planned for actually Thanksgiving Day in America. So we're going to, as our turkey's cooking, we're going to sit around watching movies all day. We're going to do that once a month.
Now, my question is for you, sorry to interrupt, Kevin, is who picks the films? You pick a film, your wife picks a film, and both your children pick a film.
Yep. Now, everybody gets the pick.
Now, do you have to adjust your picking based on the age group you're showing the film to?
No. My kids are 15 and 11. They've seen R-rated films that, you know, there's nothing that we would pick that we would deem inappropriate for them.
So I guess my question here is for our listeners. Hey, we want to know if you do this. At least I want to. And email us at extrafeatures@gmail.com. And we'll talk about it on the show.
Nice.
So hopefully somebody out there. Okay, are we going into our big movie of the week?
Well, I had one little bit of news.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Disney Plus launched this week. And I don't know how many of you guys have signed up yet already.
I think only one of us has. Two, maybe.
But there was a bit of a controversy. So they've launched, and on launch they have a lot of movies, a lot of Disney Vault movies. But most of the Star Wars movies, except for Last Jedi and Solo, because they're still with Netflix, and a few of the Marvel movies. So movie fans were shocked on Tuesday when they decided to watch Star Wars in 4K for the first time ever to learn that the film has been changed again. You know, I don't know how many different versions of Star Wars have been released over the years, but people were quite surprised to see that there was a change to the film. And, of course, it was to the Han and Greedo scene.
Again?
Again. So you know how that's been changed so that Greedo shot first? And then I think it was a standstill the last time. They both shot around the same time.
Han shot first, period.
Yeah, of course. So the new version, basically they do their thing. He talks, I'm going to take pleasure in killing you. That's the right idea, whatever. He does all the stuff. And then right before the shootout, there's a close-up of Greedo's face, and he goes, "McClunky." Or McClunky. And it's very awkward and obviously bizarrely modified. And then the two of them shoot at the same time.
What?
Yeah. So there's an insert of Magrito's face and he shouts, "McClunky."
Meaning what? I'm hungry?
which is actually something that was taken from The Phantom Menace. It's something that Sebulba says to Anakin, which is basically like, "You're going to die slowly and I'm going to enjoy it."
Oh, yeah, because I would have remembered that.
Something like that. So, And so what's even more fascinating is the history of it, is that 7 years ago, George Lucas supervised a 4K transfer of all of the Star Wars films because he was going to do 3D conversions on the 4K transfers and release them to movie theaters. And they only released Phantom Menace, and it bombed miserably. And it was one of the factors that led to him selling Star Wars to Disney. But when he did the transfer of Star Wars, he actually made another tweak to it and added this new scene, or this new cut shot of Greedo shouting McClunky.
Why?
I don't know, because he's George Lucas. He's always But it's like George Lucas's revenge because Disney sat on the 4K transfers, and I guess nobody looked at it or noticed it in 7 years. And they said, "Well, we're ready to go. Let's launch them with Disney Plus." So, of course, Star Wars fans are excited because here we go, first time 4K transfers for all these movies. And George Lucas gets the last laugh of another tweak.
So I have a really stupid question here. If I run Disney Plus on my 4K TV, does it stream in 4K?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I watched Marvel's Avengers Endgame in 4K, And it's astounding. I mean, I have a digital copy of it, but watching it in 4K on the streaming service was like night and day.
And it, okay.
So many details.
So I'm going to watch it then in 4K then. I'll rewatch the film. And
get and I did watch Star Wars and I saw it, but then it was funny. My friend was over and I said, oh, you got to see this McClunky scene. And it wasn't there. And the subtitles were gone. And then, but I texted again later in the evening and it was back.
Oh.
So it's weird. I guess they're
McClunky.
McClunky.
So I had I was joking with a friend of mine about it, and I said, "Oh, you know, you should put that on a Hawaii license, driver's license, for a fake ID." And so I have as my Facebook profile, I have Greedo on the Hawaii driver's license for McLovin.
Oh God!
For bad. But instead of McClunky, it says McClunky.
I am McClunky.
Yep. Don't cock block McClunky.
Okay. I guess we're off for a film now.
Sure. I just wanted to put one thing out. Take 20 seconds. I saw this interview with someone asked Harrison Ford who shot first, him or Greedo, or however you say it. And he's like, I don't care. I thought that was pretty good.
He doesn't.
Because I also don't care.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. All right. Do you want me to go into the first one?
Please.
Sure.
All right. Dr. Sleep, starring Ewan McGregor, Rebecca Ferguson, Kylie Curran, Cliff Curtis, Zahn McLaurin, Emily Allen Lind, Robert Longstreet, and Carol Strucken. I'm sorry.
So who's seen it?
All of us have.
All right. Yeah. Who wants to start?
You are.
All right. I saw it this afternoon, and I don't know about you guys, but I did refresh by watching The Shining last week just to prepare, because this movie is interesting because so the book The Shining was adapted as the movie The Shining by Stanley Kubrick, but he made a lot of changes to the book. For the film version. So it's not quite the same story on screen. So now Stephen King has written the sequel, Dr. Sleep, that came out this year and is now the movie. And the book, Dr. Sleep, is a sequel to the book, The Shining. But the movie, Dr. Sleep, is a sequel to not just the book, it's not just an adaptation of the book, but it's also a sequel to the Kubrick film, The Shining, and has elements that are much different from the actual published Dr. Sleep novel. So just a little bit of backstory there. I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. I thought it was fascinating and very interesting. Very well thought out character. And like the Rose the Hat character and your team. And I thought it was interesting. They were all heroes in their own stories, in a sense. Even though they were clearly villainous, killing kids and eating The Shining or whatever it is they...
Yeah, the steam.
The steam. Yeah. I thought the performances were very good. I thought Ewan was very good as tortured Danny Torrance. And I liked the little bits of, dealing with his parents. He has a chance to come to terms with both of them at some point during the film. I don't know. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really just really well done.
Well, I'll go in a little bit more depth from where you've left off there. Really liked the first hour.
Yeah.
I had a lot of problems with the second hour because I felt I needed more depth on the characters. I don't know what their names are, the evil characters. I didn't really know what their plan was.
The true knot.
I needed more of that. What is their plan? Explain it to me. I needed Torrance to have a little bit more direction, but it was coming. I think they were just slowly building that with me. Mm-hmm. I wish that went a little bit quicker for me at times. I thought Rebecca Ferguson did a fabulous job. Absolutely impressive. And I know we're going to discuss the end of the film soon, so I'll wait for you guys. And I absolutely loved the last half an hour of the film.
Yeah.
Okay. I
I think the True Knot's like purpose is just survival, because they're looking for Moby Dick to be able to sustain them for 200-300 years. I mean, like, even from the in the beginning scene, Violet, they still have some of her steam left 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love the hell of this film. I think, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's going to be on my top 10 for sure. And I'm not trying to be biased as like a huge Stephen King fan, but I just thought for like a 2.5 hour movie, the pacing really, really worked for me. I think it helped that I read the book. Simon, you might've been confused, but I think it just helps if you read the book. But I think it's still accessible for ones who haven't read the book, because it works as both the sequel to the Stephen King's novel, and it has to also work as a sequel to the movie The Shining, Kubrick's The Shining, because so many more people were familiar with that version of it. I thought the performances were great. I thought Abra was great. I also really loved like the casting of like young Danny Torrance, and I thought the one who played Shelley Duvall did a great job. Like, just like the mannerisms, and even the voice is really great too. The drama was great, and like that scene of Jacob Tremblay, like him getting killed was. See, like the thing with it's so, this disturbing horror, and like the villains are just true evil. Like you said, like they're the heroes of their own story because they have to do this to survive. Like I thought. Like, there's this one interesting thing, tidbit in the book that they say, like, oh, we haven't fed, like, well since 9/11. And, I mean, it's pretty dark, but they were, like, in the book, they were, like, they were there, like, feeding off of all the steam. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just love the hell of this movie. The performances are great. I thought the pacing really worked. And, like, the nostalgia at the end was awesome.
I guess I'll be the voice of dissension then. I came in, first of all, I hated the novel. I had many problems with the novel, Dr. Sleep. The movie fixed some of those problems that I had, but not all. I'm trying to avoid spoilers until we start discussing them.
They're coming up next.
I thought this movie was at its best when it was aping Kubrick. Mm-hmm. So I liked the ending in the anything in the Overlook itself, I liked. I did like the acting, but overall, I'm kind of in the middle on this movie. I'd give it like a 5 out of 10. It was just in the middle for me. It wasn't great, but it wasn't awful.
Well, The Shining is a perfect movie, I think, in a lot of ways. We're not really discussing it, but. This is definitely made in the shadow of The Shining.
Yes.
And it's not in the same level by any means as The Shining of quality or the fact it's not a masterpiece like The Shining is. But I thought it was a solid film. And unlike a lot of movies that I see these days, I thought this was very well planned out and well thought out, and the characters had a depth to them that we don't see in most movies these days, especially thrillers and horror.
I kind of disagree there, just because I guess I'll get into some of the spoilers here. For me, I felt Abra was way too overpowered, and the fact that she was so overpowered, it made, for me, the True Knot not scary at all. They even have Rose the Hat saying how powerful she is and that she's afraid of Abra. So I'm like, well, if the person we're supposed to be afraid of is afraid of the hero, what's the point?
I just wanted, before you put to your point, I just wanted, I think she evens the playing field a bit, though, by using all the remaining steam just to, like, be superpowered, almost. Be like, okay, like, now this is my domain a bit. Like, or at least it's on an even playing field.
I could see that if that came into play at the end at all, but it just kind of, like, even Rose got overwhelmed by the Overlook. And actually, the only person who didn't was Abra. In room 237, when she confronts the possessed Danny, the bathtub ghost is coming after her, and she just says, stop, and the ghost just stops. Abra's the only one who wasn't overwhelmed by the Overlook. She was more powerful than that. And I think she was way too overpowered. And she was actually way more overpowered in the book than she was in the movie. But that was just one of my issues.
Okay, fair enough.
I have to agree with Doug on his issue. I think Abra was very overpowered for what it is. But the thing is, for me, it was the nostalgia of The Shining going back that really sucked me into this film. If I thought it was okay, but I love when Rose with the typewriter, and it added some depth to The Shining for me there when she got sucked in like Jack Nicholson did years ago. And then they went to the maze. It was as a whole wave of nostalgia hit me, which I never expected to happen. And I like the whole bar scene when he's about to drink. And he goes, no, I'm not interested. And to me, that was just everything I needed explained from The Shining that I don't think I quite got when I saw it when I was 15. I thought this film filled in a lot of holes for me at those times. I think I have a deeper affection for The Shining now than I've ever had before because of Dr. Sleep. Like, I think I get it. And I got to go back to Daniel's point. The woman playing his mom was amazing. I thought she watched a lot of Shelley Duvall and must have watched The Shining numerous because she talked like her, looked like her. Uh-huh. And I did look for Danny Torrance. I did not see him. I know where he is in the film now, but I have to go back and look for him, but I know. But I do agree with you guys. I thought Rose should have been more powerful from the way they were talking about her. I expected more from her, and I didn't see that. Even she had problems in the Overlook Hotel. So I agree with you. I didn't see a struggle for the main protagonist, the girl. There was no problems for her in the hotel, and there should have been. I absolutely agree with you. It was
I will say in the movie, at least there were consequences for the good guys.
Yes, for once.
In the novel, there was no consequences. Everybody who's on the good guy side survives. Not every good guy in the movie survives, and okay. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So could there be a third book then at some point then, if everybody survives?
I think King wanted just to tie up, like wanted to answer to the question, like what happened to Danny? And I think, I don't know if he'd go back to it.
Well, I think he answered that.
But I can't speak for him. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I haven't read the book, so it makes it sound like perhaps a certain character lives in the book.
He does.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Any white hat in the movie, I will say, lives in the book.
So is this a better ending in the movie than the book, Doug?
We might as well just spoil it.
We only have.
Boiler room thing. That's the ending of the first, that's the ending of the actual novel, The Shining, with Jack Torrance.
But I do have one question. Who is running the hotel now? Nobody? Is it like an abandoned hotel?
They said it was closed down.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
So I think in the original novel, the boiler blows up and the hotel is destroyed.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. But in the movie, the Overlook Hotel survives. Like, they don't blow it up.
Right.
So that's why this is a sequel to that, the movie rather than the book. Because they are able to go back to the hotel.
The book ends on the grounds where the Overlook was. So it does end in the same location, but in the book it's just the grounds. In the movie, the Overlook is still there.
Okay.
Yeah. Which adds like a whole nother layer. Mm-hmm. Also, Henry Thomas, I thought he did such a good job as like the Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance. I thought the look was good.
The staff
good. I
who played him, he did a great job. The makeup looked like they might have played with his face a bit.
Yeah, like it's like so many Mike Flanagan actors in this, like Henry Thomas from Hill House, Robert Longstreet, and Carl Strickin, who did the Moonlight Man in Gerald's Game. I honestly think Mike Flanagan is one of my favorite filmmakers working today.
Actually, I blew my kids' minds when I told them that the guy playing Jack in this movie was Elliot from E.T.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't connect.
That's true.
I did not connect that was Henry Thomas playing Jack.
Yeah, I knew I recognized him, and I was like, okay, you're from Hill House, but I couldn't remember his name.
Plus, what's his name was in it from Gerald's Game, too. Gerald.
Yeah, Bruce Greenwood.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a cool thing I liked. In his office was the same, made up to look the same as the office where Jack had his interview at the Overlook.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Oh, and that scene where Rose the Hat is like going through the air, like soaring over the skies, like trying to find Abra. I thought that was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, visually, that was just awesome.
Yeah, that was really well done.
So I've always pretty much liked it. That's good. Except for Doug.
But that's okay.
I'm different.
Hey, it's all good, buddy. You like The Dead Don't Die?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, okay, so this is your Dead Don't Die.
Moving along, big franchise tentpole movie. Like, I would almost say this should have came out in the summer, I would think, but maybe it wasn't ready. Terminator, The Dark Fate, or Terminator, Dark Fate. I don't think there's a that in there.
Yeah. No, the, you're good. Starring Linda Hamilton, Mackenzie Davis, Natalia Reyes, Gabriel Luna, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know why I said it like that. And Diego Boneta.
Well, I can start. I think I'm probably one of the biggest Terminator fans on the planet. I love these movies. Just love them. Even if they're bad, I enjoy them. But I think I've finally gotten to the point I've had enough. I just thought this was a complete rewritten script for number two. It played like two, felt like two, looked like two, but just wasn't as good as two. I liked the casting. I thought the multiculturalism was there. The special effects were awesome, which is what I expect. I've been here, done that. I need something new. And I don't think this thing added anything new to the franchise. Other than killing off a major character, but I'm not even worried about it. They've done it too many times now and changed it too many times for me to care.
They're just going to come back, right? It's a new timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Sorry, who wants to go? You want me to go?
Sure.
Okay. I enjoyed this one. I liked it definitely more than Genesis, definitely more than Salvation. Because, I mean, this is basically James Cameron's sequel to T2. I thought the characters worked. Mackenzie Davis is actually really good. Like, I've only seen her in, like, a bunch of mediocre comedies. But I thought she was really good. I wish this would have came out, like, after or between, like, before Salvation and Genesis, because it seems like everyone just has a fatigue with this franchise, and that's fair. But I thought I had a bit of action fatigue, like, by the end of it, because it's just, like, so many big set pieces, and then it's just, like, I like the characters, but I kind of was like, okay, can this be over? It's, like, 2 hours 15 minutes gets a bit long. Sorry, Kevin?
No, it's fine. I was grunting.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were grunting the time or something with it. No, yeah. I mean, that's basically my thoughts about it. Special effects were great. It definitely did feel like T2, but I thought this, like, just the formula of it, it worked for me for the most part.
If you guys ever get a chance to go on YouTube, there's some great videos where they try to explain Terminator timelines.
Good luck.
And they're quite funny.
You can't.
Because literally you can't. They're because it's completely messed up. Especially when you get to Genesis, which is just a mess. I gotta say, I didn't like 3. I didn't like Salvation, although it was okay, I guess. Genesis was just a weird hodgepodge of stuff. And so the studio just says, we want to make another Terminator. Oh, let's just forget all those movies.
Yeah.
Let's just do a sequel to T2. The last one that people really liked. We'll do a sequel to that. And so, yeah, okay. So what do? She saved the future in that one. There's no way you could have Terminators or whatever else. So, yeah, like, they were still coming back in time, Terminators, and one does manage to take out a certain character early on. And but the future is changed, but we still get AI rising up and destroying humanity at some point in a slightly different form. So that means new time travel, new versions of Terminators, no Skynet, but something else in its place.
Yeah.
You know what? The action pieces were entertaining. I thought it looked great. I didn't have any problem with any of the actors. The Terminator, I'm like, why is Arnold in this again? Okay, all right. I guess I can kind of buy that excuse, which was kind of what happened with the last one, why there was an older Terminator. You know, one goes back in time and then lives. So what happens to a Terminator when they live? When they're learning. So they become more human as they go along.
Hey, they like to sell drapes, okay? That's his thing. He's a drape salesman now.
And now his name is Gus, right?
For Charles Room, you don't do a streetcar. I said, don't do that. You must do balloons or ponies.
God. Terrible.
Yeah. It was goofy, and I don't want to see another one of these movies after this. And you know that they're hoping this would make enough money that it would. It's just tired.
Oh, I agree.
If you want to revisit the Terminator, wait a few years and just remake it. Just do another one, a brand new one with new actors, new situation, but it's set in the future. There's always, problem is with Terminator franchise is that it's all grounded in certain years. So trying to get around the fact that we've long since gone by the year that Skynet was supposed to rise, how do you work around that? Well, maybe you do time travel jumps. Well, that didn't work out very well either. Well, maybe it's just going to happen again, but later. Like in this movie, it's just, it's worn its wear, at its wear.
Yeah, but it feels like it's remade it, like, it's every couple years so many times, and they just retcon what's happened before.
Yeah. But I don't think this movie made what they were hoping it would make, so I honestly don't think there won't be a sequel to this.
Oh, yeah. Put us out of our misery. I liked it enough, but I just don't want another one.
No, it's bombing. It's not doing well at all, but I had fun with it. I mean, I think Mackenzie Davis just opened herself up to a brand new opportunities in acting. I think she can now be a big action star if she wants to be. I thought she was really good.
Yeah, I agree.
But my big issue was Arnold, because he was as charming as I've ever seen him. But why are we supposed to like him after he does what he did in the beginning?
Yeah, and that's the problem with Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm human now. I've learned.
But I guess
I'm sorry.
In our social media age, we have a hard time forgiving people for things they do in their past. So maybe that's the message of it, is that, you know, even a Terminator can grow and learn in the years past doing something bad. Like,
There's also a difference between saying something off color and murder.
Right, that's true.
But so, you know, I killed your son. Won't you forgive me?
I was programmed to do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. It was my tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a John.
It's the little Terminator inside of me.
Maybe it's a tumor.
But yeah, I agree that as far as Terminator movies go, this is probably the third best one.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Hands down.
Yeah.
I do like T3, though. I don't know why. I like that one.
This is the end.
Rise of the Machines.
That one. The end.
Well, Salvation also gave us that wonderful Christian Bale rant from behind the scenes.
Yes.
So I like
it. Oh, against the cinematographer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I still walk around saying, oh, good for you.
Good for you. That's what Doug does when his kids come home. He's pissed off with them. Good for you. That's what his kids told him after Doug liked that German restaurant. Nobody, good for you.
Oh, like I like the Rinner Schnitzel. Like, good for you.
Are we moving along?
I think I did. I was just going to say, I kind of like the villain here, even though it's basically the same as Robert Patrick. I thought he did a pretty good job, too.
Yeah, it's the same villain as Robert Patrick, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Ghost Rider.
No.
That's Ghost Rider.
This is Black Liquid. I thought it was kind of cool how he separated, like, the exoskeleton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry?
That's Ghost Rider from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. So I got to say, why do you need a skeleton if you're made out of liquid metal?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Too bad. Terminators against one? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, why was I kept thinking of Beyond the Thunderdome? Master Blaster! The guy riding on the back. I'm like, I need to get out more, I know.
Oh, no.
We need another hero.
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, it's not Wonder Woman Bloodlines, I'll tell you that much.
Ooh. Starring Rosario Dawson, Mary Avdrianopoulos, Kimberly Brooks, Jeffrey Donovan, Courtney Taylor, and Nia Vardalos.
Oh, God. Nia Vardalos needs some cash.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any other notable names, but...
Oh, Kevin, do you want to be... I can start. Kevin can fill in the gaps. Why do we have another origin Wonder Woman story?
Okay.
Again, another one. Three movies, three origin stories. I'm done. I got it. I saw the real movie. I'm good. I think this film is a mess. A complete and utter mess. I look like a bad cartoon from the 90s. I had no flow to it. I had no interest in any of the characters. I'm trying to figure out how a book nerd gets into a gunfight. I figured out the purple ray heals all, and I was bored out of my skull. What did I miss?
I don't know. I can't think of pretty much covers it.
This is terrible. Nina Vardalos as the villain, she can't voice act. I think they would have a better job canvassing people randomly on the street and getting the fill-in lines.
Ouch.
Like, she is awful. And Medusa, what's up with that, Kevin?
Well, so this is an adaptation of a series of Wonder Woman issues.
Are they good?
No. Nia Vardalos just plays the mother.
Oh, she's not the villain?
No, she's not the villain. The villain is Marie of Garopolis.
Oh, she's awful. Okay, I'm sorry, Nina. You did fine because you weren't in it much. Maria, you're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Vardalos played the villain. It sounded like her.
So, I mean, they recap the origin for, I don't know, whatever reason. And this is, I guess this was going to be tied to the release of Wonder Woman 1984, which was supposed to be out this year. It got pushed to next year. So they said, well, got the cartoon ready. Let's just put it out. And so it's New 52 DC Universe movies version of Wonder Woman. So while there was a Wonder Woman animated movie that came out a few years ago, that was for the old DCU version. So they wanted to do the origin for the New 52 one to tie her in and then say what she's been up with the Justice League and then come back to this Bloodline story. So at the end, she adopts the more movie-like Wonder Woman costume as opposed to the silver, red, blue, and white outfit that she was wearing in those other Justice League movies with the high collar. Covering up her neckline. I don't know. Anyway, the movie is a serviceable adaptation of the Bloodline storyline, which includes Cheetah and whatever that giant woman is, and the origin of the Silver Swan, which is a story from the comic. Is that Julia Capellas is her friend, and her daughter Vanessa. Now, like, Julia and Vanessa were from the George Perez run, and they were interesting characters. Julia was a historian. I don't know. I mean, I thought this was adequate. It wasn't
stretch
overly enjoyable.
Well, thank you. Okay, good.
It wasn't very interesting. The animation was very pedestrian, but not terrible. Some of the characters were animated very well. Like, I thought Cheetah was done very well. Like, I honestly don't care about Ferdinand the Burrow, the Bull, played by Michael Dorn. While he was in the story, he's not that interesting in the movie. So overall, I don't know, mediocre. And then they made other changes, such as the sexual preferences of Etta Candy and stuff like that. They made little changes there, too. So overall, I would say of the DC animated movies, this is one that could be skipped.
No, I agree.
Unless you've got a daughter that's a really big Wonder Woman fan.
No, nobody does. Let's skip this movie.
Oh.
Don't
pay for it. See it for free.
Yeah, go to Kevin's house. We'll let you in. You can just sit down and watch it.
It'll be on Netflix eventually or something.
No, I think all of DC's animation should just be dumped on Netflix.
Usually it is, although now that they have their own streaming service, it'll eventually be part of HBO Max.
Oh, there you go.
But would it even be worth the watch on Netflix?
No.
It doesn't sound like it.
You know what? If you care about Wonder Woman, you'll want to watch it.
Okay.
That's all I would say. And there, the good thing I bought it, the good thing about the purchase was it came with some stuff about future DC Universe releases.
And did it have the Death short?
It did.
Nice.
And that was very good.
But you don't get that digitally. I thought you had to buy the hard copy to get that.
Nope, I bought it on iTunes and I got it.
Oh, okay.
It's an extra feature that you get when you purchase it. Now, the physical media is dying, so if you're going to get the extras now, you're going to get it on iTunes as well.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I would say, like, if you care about the character, you'll want to see it. But otherwise, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess.
Well, let's go to the next one. Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go. Starring Greg Sipes, Rhys Darby, Gray Griffin, Sean Mayer, Kerry Payton, Kevin Michael Richardson, Tara Strong, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Okay. Before Doug starts this, I just want to give a shout out to Tara Strong and Gray Griffin. I always think they do a fabulous job at everything they do. I think they're very talented actors, voice actors, both of them.
Tara Strong is Tommy Pickles, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've heard her do so many voices. And Gray Griffin, I love her as Daphne in Scooby Doo. So this is my shout out to them. Doug, go ahead.
Okay.
I loved this movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. Teen Titans Go to the Movies was, aside from Into the Spider-Verse, was my favorite superhero movie the year that it came out. So I had high hopes for this because I love the Teen Titans Go. I think they're really funny. And this movie held up for me. The whole family just got into it and had a great time. And my older son's been walking around singing the Whirligog song for about a week now.
Yeah. Whirligog.
Yeah. Sure, that would be funnier if I'd seen it.
Well, I mean, I thought it was a fantastic idea to match the two versions, which are basically the same voice actors playing both versions. And so there was the Teen Titans, and Teen Titans got canceled and replaced with Teen Titans Go, which was a little bit more cartoony and kiddie. but still subversive. And that's the version that we had the Teen Titans Go to the Movies based around. So they always teased that at some point that they wanted to, like, in fact, that I think there's an episode of Teen Titans Go where they're watching that version of Teen Titans on video. And they're like, man, what happened to season three? We wanted season three. They're not happy. So it was kind of cool to see the two versions. I thought it was hilarious to see all the different versions of the Titans when all the different multiversal versions start coming after them. And you see, like, the classic George Perez Titans and all these other versions, like Super Friends versions and stuff. I thought that was really, really cool.
And then they brought in the DC Animated Universe ones, who were the ultra-serious version.
Yes.
That was great, too.
The Young Justice versions.
Yes.
I thought this was fun. I had a good time. I'm not saying it's going to blow me away. It got a little kiddish at times, but I think it was supposed to because it is for kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, but at times, I got to say the Robin jokes were getting hysterical. After seeing Teen Titans Go to the Movies, I didn't think they could make better jokes, but oh my God, I was laughing at the cyborg toaster joke. And they kept going back to his appliances. I was dying. And the whole Raven thing, I thought they did a great job. I will give them full credit. I just thought it was a little kiddish at times for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, obviously its audience is Doug's son, and because he's enjoying singing his song, I'll give it my praise. I think it's worth watching.
I didn't think it was as good as Go to the Movies, but I did think it was really good.
I didn't break up as much as Go to the Movies, but I don't think you were supposed to. I think they kept it for what level it was supposed to be at. It was designed for, I don't know, 10 and under, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it worked well for that. I did like, again, the multi-version. I have a lot of problems with the animation at times. I just find it looks too kiddish for me. The way they're drawn. And, I mean, I understand it's a kid show. It's supposed to be like that. That's probably my only real issue. And sometimes I just feel it goes to the level it's supposed to. It doesn't stay at the sophistication level at times. But it's a fun watch. It's definitely better than Wonder Woman Bloodlines.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to watch this tonight, but, like, I opened up to look at it, and I was like, okay, I might watch this. But then it looked too bright and colorful, and I didn't really feel like being positive. I didn't feel like all the positivity, but I do want to watch this.
Well, I thought you were drawing in from the Cowboy game or something, probably distracted you.
You'll be singing that Roll the Gog song.
Roll the Gog, you will sing.
Yes, I wanted to watch.
Or you become like me, talking like Raven. I'm so emo. all day. you know what's weird? Okay. I find about these DC movies, I don't know if anybody else, I have to Wikipedia the characters because I don't remember them. And I find out with all the DC villains, I don't remember who they are half the time. So I Wikipedia them just to look them up, going, okay, that person really does exist. They didn't.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
So maybe I thought it was just a me thing. Okay. Are we going to our Netflix movie of the week?
Yes, sir. El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie. Now, I didn't include all the cast because, I mean, I think some of them will be spoilers, but I included most of it. Starring Aaron Paul, Matt Jones, Charles Baker, Larry Hankin, Jesse Plemons, Scott MacArthur, and Robert Forster.
Oh, that made me, I was so mad seeing Robert Forster. I was actually upset. I'm such a huge Robert Forster fan.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Oh, he was.
Okay, I guess I'll start. I didn't do a rewatch of Breaking Bad, so, I mean, everybody told me I should have, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to watch this. And I was happy. I mean, I finished it. I enjoyed seeing everybody come back. I remember most of the characters. I remember Plemons' character. I remember the odd character here and there, and some I didn't, but fine. Even if I didn't remember them, the story worked for me. But I felt finishing going, did I really need this? Like, did I need the wrap-up to Pinkman's story? I enjoyed it. Did I really need it? I don't think so. So I think it was just more of a cash grab.
I disagree with you on that. I got to say, because of the movie, I've been going back and started rewatching Breaking Bad again Right now I'm up to the end of season three. And I do have to say, yeah, we kind of needed this for Jesse. Jesse was such a punching bag on the TV show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So much bad stuff happened to him. I wanted to see what happened to him after he escaped his fate in the final episode. I wanted to see what happened. I wanted to make sure he got away okay, just because so much bad stuff happens to him. And I liked it. I loved the movie. I thought Vince Gilligan, his directing was so above and beyond what he can do on TV because he has the time with a feature film. Just the whole scene with Jesse Plemons and Aaron Paul out in the desert.
Loved it.
That whole scene was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And yes, there were stuff that was gorgeous on the TV show, but that was just above and beyond in the painted desert. And yeah, I think this was one of Vince Gilligan's best directorial efforts.
So I haven't watched every episode of Breaking Bad. I did watch the finale, and so I'm aware of what happened with Jesse at the end and how he escaped. So, I mean, you're right. This is an epilogue for the entire series in a way, a sort of a what happened to Jesse to tie up the loose ends. But I enjoyed the hell out of El Camino. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was dark, but had some great moments. I thought there was a very Pulp Fiction-esque quality to the confrontation scene where he goes after the guy that took the money. And they have an old-fashioned in that room with those other guys kind of freaking out. And then I thought it was very interesting. I mean, the late Robert Forster has a really fun little scene, bunch of scenes where the end where he helps them out. So I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very interesting then trying to tear that apart to find the money that was hidden in it. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That was cool.
And then how he finds it in the end. He's kind of cool. I thought it was very interesting. And it was nice to have a couple of scenes with Walter White where they had flashback.
Yeah, about that one, I didn't really understand where the timeline for that one was. Was that like before they, when the Roosters first starting doing the meth business, or was that like near the end?
That was towards the beginning, because I think he just had the Walter just had the mustache only, so it was before he went full goatee. So that was end of season one, beginning of season two.
Okay, because the Winnebago was still there. Okay, I really like this. I saw the series. I hadn't watched it since like 2015, but I think I'd like to binge it again and then watch this film again because. Like, even just with, like, on Netflix, there's, like, a 4-minute recap of events to help a bit, which was really helpful because I forgot so much of the dynamics. And I think I just enjoy this more if I watch the show again and then watch this again. But, the direction is great. I thought there was so much good tension, like, when Jesse comes out from, like, the mattress and just has the gun to his head. When he had the gun, when he found Jesse Plemons' gun. I thought it was interesting how the timeline was filled in and like how it shows Jesse Plemons just with him and shows him his apartment and the frickin' housekeeper that he killed because she just simply found his money, his hiding place. I just thought how they filled that in and then Jesse went to his apartment. I thought that was really good. And seeing these characters again was awesome, and the performances were great too. Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on it.
Cool. So it sounds like if we're all recommending it.
We are.
Great.
Are we off to the vault?
Yes. Do we have time to open the vault?
You have 2 minutes.
The Dead Zone, starring Christopher Walken, Brooke Adams, Tom Skerritt, Martin Sheen.
I'll go first since I'm not really the horror fan. I quite like this at times. At times, I thought the acting was interesting. I like where the film was going. I thought the end was a little bit like Taxi Driver. at times, but I did enjoy it. I just wish there was a little bit more to it than what I saw. I thought it was okay. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I'm kind of in the middle. I like the acting. I do see why Christopher Walken's a star more and more. I do enjoy it. I mean, I didn't love this film. I just thought it was okay.
Wait, okay, what year was this out?
83.
I think it's very much a movie of the time.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
I think if you were remaking this movie now, you would have a lot more action set pieces.
Yeah.
And a bigger payoff at the end.
Yes, absolutely you would.
But I remember seeing this at the time and enjoying it and revisiting it. I think Walken gives a great performance.
Yep.
They did make a TV show of this later.
Really?
Yeah.
Anybody
starring seen it? Starring the nerd from 16 Candles.
Really?
Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall.
I'm going to have to see that.
Yeah, so he plays, and it's like a weekly show. What is interesting to me is a number of Stephen King movies where the lead characters are basically superhero characters.
Yeah.
Like they have some kind of superhero power that sets them apart from the rest of the world, and that it can lead to horrific aspects to it, but you can also use that power for good. Like Danny Torrance does in Dr. Sleep, helping old people find their way to peaceful deaths or helping people find lost watches and stuff like that. So here you have a character, the lead character, who basically has visions of potential futures. Or he can see your past or a number of different things. But it also affects him in a way that... after being in a coma for so many years, he's kind of lost touch with reality, or his reality, and it's made him a bit of a loner.
Well, how does he get that cool apartment by just tutoring? He must be tutoring a ton.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, the person he was tutoring was it was a very wealthy family. So. Mm-hmm.
I understand that, but I mean, how much tutoring can you do? You know, like, were they paying for the whole apartment?
Well, it's explained a little more in the book.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you got a big settlement from the oil tanker company.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, it's very interesting. And then Martin Sheen is essentially Donald Trump.
Yes.
Well, no, he's not. That bad, but but he's basically a president who has no self-control and could potentially lead the United States into a nuclear war.
Correct.
And so the Walken character has a "Do I kill Hitler as a baby" moment, where do I let him become the evil that I've seen him be, or do I kill him? And he obviously comes to the conclusion that he has to kill Hitler as a baby.
Correct.
That type of thing, and kill his politician before he gets to the point where he's truly evil.
You are 100% correct, sir.
So, but anyway, that was a nice little moment where he just shows that guy as his real character as a worm. And prevents him from ever becoming president.
He does.
Even though he has to, it takes out the Walken character in the end.
He does. You're correct.
Yeah. I watched this a while ago.
Walken as a good guy.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Sorry.
He said you agree. You like the fact that he was a good guy in this as opposed to a bad guy like normal.
Yeah, Walken's usually the heavy, so it was nice to see him play a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And as for Cronenberg, I thought the scene in Castle Rock with the serial killer there, I thought that was where Cronenberg came to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest was kind of straightforward drama, but overall, I liked the movie. I had fun with
it. Did anybody buy anything before we wrap up?
I didn't. Sorry, I saw this a while ago. I liked it fine. Okay. All I remember is like Christopher Walken going, "The ice is gonna break." that's all I remember.
Did anybody buy anything besides myself?
What did you buy?
I actually picked up two movies at a Salvation Army that has them for a dollar. I bought an old J-Lo movie called Angel Eyes, I think. It has a cardboard cover. I hadn't seen it. If I've seen it, I do not remember it.
Uh-huh.
And I picked up a 20-movie Alfred Hitchcock collection because it had a couple of silence on it I haven't seen. I've seen most of the other ones.
Nice.
I'm very close to finishing off my Hitchcocks, everything. I'm just down to like the last 10, and they're all silence.
Well, I did buy The Shining on iTunes, so I had a copy to watch. A nice 4K transfer. And I bought Star Trek The Motion Picture, the director's cut.
Throw that in the garbage.
As well, which I enjoy, the longer version. There are lots of things I like about the motion picture, even though it's long and boring.
No.
I think there are some nice character moments in that film that get overshadowed by the fact it's a long, dull movie.
Did not enjoy that film at all.
But I bought signing up for Disney Plus, I now have access to all of these old movies. So I plan to go back and revisit a lot of classic Disney stuff. Cat from Outer Space and stuff like that.
I'm sure they'll all end up on the show eventually, Kevin.
Possibly.
That darn cat's on my list to rewatch at some point.
Enjoying the house. Now, I think only the remake is on there for some reason.
Oh, really? Because I can't see Frank Gorshin? I'm sure Frank Gorshin's in the original.
I think he probably is, yeah. I think just the Christina Ricci remake is on there right now.
There's a remake? I never knew they made a remake.
I didn't know either. I just saw it came across that. I'm like, that doesn't look like the movie I remember. Well, why is Christina Ricci in this?
Well, that just made the list. Expect that coming up.
There's a remake of That Darn Cat.
But I have to watch both back to back, though.
Looks like it probably came out late 90s.
I will see it, though. Guaranteed.
And, of course, I'm loving the hell out of Mandalorian, so.
We'll get to there, I promise. We'll leave next episode. Okay, that's it. We're out of here if they make it.
We watch it.
Good night, all.